Can everybody hear me and see me? I know I'm not in the prominent spot up there like normal, but good to see. We got a good house this morning. I'm glad to see everybody here, because what we're going to talk about today is one of the most important things that we need to understand being disciples of Jesus Christ, being followers of God. Now, I'm going to date myself here, but how many of you remember a cartoon back in the 80s and 90s and some movies here recently called The Transformers? Oh yeah, Optimus Prime and Decepticons and the Autobots and all that, right? Well, the whole premise of these shows were these autonomous robots who could transform between their robot selves and earthly machines such as cars and planes and trains and construction equipment, you name it, they could transform into it. And we had the good guys, which were the Autobots, and the bad guys, which were the Decepticons, but they could both hide in plain sight. They could switch back and forth whenever the need arose. Well, the Bible tells us that we too must be transformed. But we're not going to be like a cartoon where, you know, just instantaneous. No, once we're transformed, we are what we're going to be. We don't get to switch back and forth between being sinners and saved and all that stuff. We are transformed, we are regenerated, we are reborn, we are made new by the blood and mercies of Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our transformation is a permanent act. When we are transformed by the Holy Spirit into a child of God, there should be no hiding in plain sight. We must be what we claim to be. We must be who we say that we follow. And brothers and sisters, in that way the world knows who we are and what we represent. So there cannot be, I'm this way on Friday night, I'm this way on Saturday night, and I'm this way on Sunday morning. No, you can't be that. You are what God has made you. You are, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, a child of God, a child of the King, a fellow heir with Jesus Christ. Think about that. You are no longer what you once were. You can't be if you really have faith. You cannot be what the world is. Because why? Because the world hates God. And let's think about that for a second. Absolutely they do. And they always have. The worldly system, the system apart from God. And when I say the world, please do not misunderstand. I'm not speaking of creation. I love creation. I've said this 1,000 times. I love what God has wrought by His hands in this old world. But the worldly system that has been a result of the fallenness and the sinfulness of man, I despise. Because it is an enmity between themselves and God. So I want to read two verses that we are very familiar with. You've probably heard sermons on these since you were in kindergarten or preschool in the church nursery. It's Romans 12, chapter 1 and 2. You probably know this by memorization. By just rote, you've heard it so many times. But let's read this. Romans 12, 1 and 2. And I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now, like I said, we're familiar with these verses. We've heard them. We've probably got some of them on a coffee mug or a plaque at our home or something. I mean, these are important things. Especially 12:1. We are to present our bodies a living sacrifice whereby they are made holy unto God. That means we are separated unto God for His use, His purposes, His will, and His kingdom's work. That is our living sacrifice. We live our faith. We do not hide it. We do not transform between a robot and a car. We do not transform between a saved person and a sinner. You are what God has made you when you are by faith. And there can be no arguing this fact. Although people in selfishness and self-righteousness try to make the definition of holy into a blasphemous perversion of its true meaning. There are a lot of people out there that claim to be Christian, that claim to be churches, but yet they are promoting sinfulness. They are promoting separation from their God. They are promoting things that would make you unholy. And why not? Because, you know, if you're that, you don't have to change. You don't have to be holy. You can be like everybody else. You don't have to do anything to be what they promote. But no, brothers and sisters, we are called to be children of the Almighty God. But I want to emphasize today, verse 2. Let me repeat verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, we have both a negative and a positive command here. And we have also in the same verse the purpose for this negative and this positive command. It is one of the most clear-cut directives in all of Scripture. I mean, there are things in Scripture that people of goodwill can debate and argue about, but you can't debate about this. It tells us not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, so that we may prove what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will. Without being transformed, without being renewed, you don't know what the will of God is. You may read the words on the page. You may see it, as we said, on a coffee mug. You may see it or hear it from the mouth of a saint of God. However, unless you have the Holy Spirit inside you, you really cannot comprehend it. And how do we receive that Holy Spirit? We receive it by grace through faith, and this not of ourselves. It is something that God gives us when we go to Him in repentance and faith. The main objective of this command, in the negative, is do not be conformed to this world. And brothers and sisters, when I pass a church that's flying a rainbow flag, they're not celebrating the Noah covenant. Okay? They are promoting worldliness. They want you to be conformed to the world, what the world says is right. When we see brothers and sisters acting in selfishness and pride, they are not promoting what God wants. They are promoting what they want. And we are not to be conformed to that. In fact, the Bible tells us that if you are conformed to the image of Christ, the only begotten Son of God, then how can we be conformed to the world which hates Him? Oh, the world doesn't hate Jesus. Folks, when I hear that, I want to throw a hymnal at somebody. The world definitely hates the things of God. How do I know? Let's get to the Bible. John 15, 18 through 19 says this: If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. If you acted like the rest of the folks out there, the people that don't believe in God, they wouldn't bother you. Why does the devil want to bother somebody that's already his? He wants to fool you into thinking that all the stuff that you're doing that he promotes gives you happiness. There is pleasure in sin for a season until God works in your heart to make you understand that the things of this world are not the things of God. Let's think about the things of God for a second. Love, forgiveness, mercy, compassion, joy, forgiveness. Don't those sound good to you? They sound good to me because I need every one of them. And God gives it because He loves us. But let's think about the things of the world. If there is love, then it's usually rooted in selfishness and lust if it's of the world. I want power over someone. I want to use that person. I want to gain what I can gain out of that person, and then I'll throw them away. That's the world's love. And if I'm conformed to the world, that's what I'll be thinking love is. What about forgiveness? The world does not believe in forgiveness. They may mouth the game, but they don't. In fact, the world wants you to believe in revenge and their version of justice. And what is their version of justice? Whatever's right for me. I don't care about the other person. Brothers and sisters, that is to be conformed to this world. Now, will Christians act like that on occasion? Unfortunately, Sometimes we follow the temptations that we receive. And that's not right. However, when we are a child of God, God will redirect us. He will cause us to repent, and He will cause us to love, and He will cause us to treat others as we want to be. He will cause us to love the Lord our God with everything we are. That is to be conformed to the image of God. In fact, in 2 Timothy 3:12, it says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." The world, when we start proclaiming Jesus Christ, when we go out there next month and we start telling folks about our revival that's coming up, we're going to have folks accept, but we're also going to have folks laugh at us and call us all kind of things. Folks, get ready for it. But you know what? That's okay, because if something does that because we're serving Jesus, that's gain for us. We have jewels placed in our crown when we suffer for the sake of Christ. But never let that be the reason that you do it. You do it for the honor and glory of our God and King. That is why we do it. And in fact, the Bible in James 4:4 tells us something even worse. "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God." Why is the church these days wanting to put our relationship with the world in higher regard than our Lord and Savior? Brothers and sisters, there's nothing that gets me angrier than when I see folks that claim to be Christian tell you that the way to do things is the world's way so that you will draw more to you. Folks, what draws people to you is kindness and love and mercy and being good to people and helping them in need and things of that. Not selfishness, not self-righteousness, but that's what the world wants you to think. They want to characterize Christians as a bunch of self-righteous people that only want to tell you what to do. Brothers and sisters, we want to tell you what to do only in the sense that we want to point you toward Jesus Christ, because He is the only way to heaven, the only way to God the Father. It is the only way by which we can be saved is Jesus Christ. And when we don't do that, when we don't conform to Him, when we don't transform into His image and likeness, then brothers and sisters, we are on a one-way escalator ride straight to the gates of hell. And people don't want to preach that. I don't like preaching that because I want people to know the beauty and the majesty and the glory of God. But I can't tell you one side of the coin without telling you the other side of the coin. The coin is God in His mercy, love, and justice and compassion, but also in His righteousness. He will not let the guilty go unpunished. Even Jesus, who preached love and mercy, preached on hell and the outer darkness, where people who reject Him and reject the goodness of God are cast. And they're cast because they're conformed to this world and not transformed by the renewing of our mind. Now, I think the Word of God has established this fact. If one is conformed to this world, a world which hates the Lord Jesus and persecutes all those who love Him, then that person is an enemy of God, whether they believe it or not. Now, can that person be saved? Absolutely! The Holy Spirit is wonderful in taking out the heart of stone and replacing it with the heart of flesh. He's talked about that through the whole Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. God loves you enough to transform you, but He loves you enough to not keep you the way you were, but to act out the transformation so that you become His child and not a child of perdition. I've seen so many people argue that they desire to enjoy this life as others enjoy it. They want to participate in all kind of ungodly or secular activities. They want to be friends with ungodly people who may or may not lead them astray. Why, Christian, do we desire to be common when we're called to be holy? We're called to be a child of the Most High and to be an ambassador for Him in this world instead of being one with this world. Now, let me clarify something. I'm not telling you can't have friends who aren't Christian. In fact, I would encourage that, because they can see Christ through you. They can see Jesus by the way you live your life, by the way you talk, by the way you act. So don't misunderstand. But what I'm saying is, when they try to draw you into their world, when they try to draw you away from God, that is when you need to put your foot down and say, I am a child of God. I love you, but I cannot do that because I don't belong to this world. I have been transformed. Well, I knew you when you were doing this and that and the other, and you did that and that. Brothers and sisters, that is absolutely true. And you can tell the person, yes, you're right. I did do that at one point. But I'm not that person anymore. Well, why not? Well, the blood of Christ. The blood of Christ has transformed me into a child of God. And I'm not telling you that to be self-righteous. I'm not telling you that to be arrogant. I'm telling you that because it's the truth. And that path is open to you. If you want to be reconciled with God. Well, I don't want to be boring. I don't want to sit on my hands and read my Bible and pray all day. Brothers and sisters, do you think that's what we're going to do? We do read our Word. We do pray. But we don't sit on our haunches. We work. We work for God's glory. We work for the kingdom. We make friends. We help people. We do good things. We are called unto good works. Good works don't save us. But we are called to do things for God in this world. We are not left sitting on a cloud playing a harp. That would be pretty boring. Now, if you gave me an electric guitar, that might be different, but that in heaven I would be able to play it. I can't play it here. That being said, y'all know I'm being facetious. God will have us, even when we're in heaven, God will have us work to do. But we're not in heaven yet. We're right here on earth, called to be children of God, called to do things in the kingdom of Christ, to draw others unto Christ. Now we need to move on. That was the negative command. Do not be conformed to this world. The next command is the positive. We are told to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now what does that mean for us today? 2 Corinthians 4:16 says, "For which cause we faint not," talking about the cause of the gospel. "But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." So if you take the entire New Testament in context, we're not talking about just renewing our mind. We're talking about renewing our inner man, our inner woman, day by day. Not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Paul used this word very specifically. Okay? The mind, for us, represents our entire being. You know, it's like we're saying our heart. Our heart feels something. Well, in his nuance, there were two words that usually represented all of you. Now, one he talked about how, in the King James, it talked about how his bowels were filled with compassion. We don't normally say that nowadays because they have a different context. But here, the mind, we are renewed. The inward man, all of us, is renewed day by day. It is our inner man or woman that is renewed every day we walk this earth. When you get up in the morning and you take your first knowing breath, of course you breathe when you were asleep, we know that. But when you are thankful that you took that breath that morning and you were able to get out of bed and you were able to go about your business. You're talking about being transformed? I can tell you from recent personal experience, it only takes one accident to transform you into something that you were to something that you don't want to be. I was working, I even told my lovely bride yesterday, you know, I enjoy being outside working with you. Man, we were doing good, and all of a sudden I fell in a hole. And I couldn't do anything after that. In fact, I had to use a lawnmower as a walker. I was pushing up the hill, and Shiny said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Does it look like I'm okay?" I was transformed, but not in a good way. But you see, this kind of parallels when Christ enters you, when you accept Jesus Christ by grace through faith, and you are transformed into what you were not in the moments prior. Before you were a sinner, now you're a sinner saved by grace. You were a person who wanted to be like the world, but now you are a person who wants to save the world through Christ. You want to tell others about Him. You want to show them the way to the cross. You want to tell them the good things that God has done for you. You want to be obedient to your Lord and Savior. That's the transformation, because it goes from our mind to our heart to our bodies. And we're able to do those things. The Holy Spirit does it for us. It indwells us. It guides us. It teaches us what the will of God is through prayer and the Scriptures. Now, we try to renew our outer man all the time. Think not? Do you go to the doctor? Do you rub creams and ointments all over your face? Do you dabble in essential oils?
Some of you might. Do you have knee and hip replacements? Well, I'm getting some dirty stares out there right now. What about cosmetics or even aftershaves? You see, we always are trying to renew and make better our outer person, and that's understandable. We want to be presentable. We want to represent God in a good and a pleasant way. We want to be healthy and do all these things, and that's not sinful. Don't mishear me. But my point is, we're always trying to renew the outer man. But it's the inner man that the heart looks at. Brothers and sisters, I can tell you, with the heart of God, the ugliest, homeliest person can be the most beautiful, wonderful individual to be with when they have the heart and mind of God. Because I've known a lot of people that were beautiful on the outside, and they were pitch black when you started conversation with them. It is what God does. And brothers and sisters, as we renew the outer man, let us renew the inner man too, through prayer and the Word and being with brothers and sisters. But the outer man is not the biblical standard. The Word of God tells us to renew the inner man, for it is the inner man that pleases or rejects God. Your inner person, your soul, your spirit, your mind, your heart, they are what listens to the Word of God. They are what makes you believe or not believe. Now, the Holy Spirit gives you the power to believe. Yes, I'm not arguing that. But you still got to make the decision. You still got to say, I believe. In fact, that's what the Bible commands us to do. Believe. Believe on the one whom ye have sent. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. It tells us to believe. It is your inner man or inner woman that causes you to believe. So let us be transformed from what the world thinks is good to that person which God declares is beautiful in His sight. And this transformation brings us to the purpose of this renewal. We are renewed so that we can find, learn, and act upon, that means prove, what God's will is. We discover that God's will is good and acceptable and perfect. To who? To God. That should be one of those duh moments when you hear that. What is God's will when it is good, acceptable, and perfect? That's when we find that will and we are obedient to that will. You see, obedience is very important. In fact, it says to us in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, I desire obedience and not just sacrifice. Now, in the Old Testament, sacrifice was part of the obedience. We get that. Our sacrifice in obedience goes back to verse 1, that we present our bodies a living sacrifice. That's our reasonable service. God tells us it's reasonable for you to be obedient, to offer your body. That means not only your physical body, but your whole life to service to God. See, these are some of the most simple commands that we can understand. A human being that rejects God cannot understand what the will of God is. It's unable to do so. How do I know this? Again, verses that you are familiar with. Romans 8, 5 through 9 says this, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, for they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal man is enmity against God. Let's read that carnal mind. Who are you friends with when you're in your flesh, the world or God? The world. When you're doing things for yourself, that's the way the world does it. So you are at enmity with God. This backs up what we read earlier. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's not that you won't, you can't. Right now, it's not that I don't want to go roller skating. I can't go roller skating because I would fall over on my face and break whatever else I got left. A carnal mind, a person that rejects God, cannot please God unless the Holy Spirit intervenes and gives you the ability to believe. But you have to take that ability. God doesn't hit you with a brick and say, now you're saved. No, no, no. Brothers and sisters, He lays out the truth before you by the power of the Holy Spirit through the Word, through the witness, through people, and you've got to take the ball and run with it. You know, if I took off a watch, I'm going to use an old example that we used to have in evangelism explosion. If I offered you my watch, suppose I had a Rolex. We'll never have a Rolex, so y'all don't worry. But suppose I had one, and I wanted to give it to somebody. Brother Mel, I'm going to pick on you for a minute. Suppose I came up to you and I said, Brother Mel, I love you and I want you to have this gift. And you accepted that gift. That's a wonderful thing. It shows my love for you. But if I come up to you and said, no, you said, no, brother, I need to do something. I need to work for it. At that moment, is that a gift? No, it's not. You're working for it. And are we saved by works? No, we're saved by grace through faith. When you accept the gift of God, you have to do the accepting. You have to do the believing. God does not force you to believe. A forced faith is a false faith. You hold a gun to somebody's head and say, do you believe or you will die? If they say, oh, I believe, they don't believe. They just don't want to get shot. But if you present the love of God and the Holy Spirit moves them, they will accept that faith for what it is, the gift of God. And when we have that gift, we become transformed. We literally have a change in our spiritual DNA. And we begin to see what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is. I want to repeat this truism, verse 6 and 7 and 8. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you are transformed, you have life and peace. Will you still have problems? Absolutely. God does not remove you from the consequences of sin in this world. Maybe not your own, but other people can sin and hurt you. But the thing is, at this point now, you're walking with God, and God is there with you as you go through this. And brothers and sisters, I can tell you, with 18 years being on a fire truck and an ambulance, and since 2007 being a pastor, I have seen people face death with peace, joy, and I've seen them face it with fear and anger and bitterness. And I can tell you for a fact, I know which way is better based on their behavior. And then when I anchor it in the Word of God, I can understand, because almost every person that I talk to that were about to transform from this earthly life to the heavenly life, they knew Jesus Christ. And the ones that had fear, some were ambivalent, but several were angry at God that they refused to believe in. That's what kicks me sometimes. I get into an argument online or sometimes in public with an atheist, and they're mad at a God they don't even believe exists. Folks, I'm sorry. How stupid is that? Brothers and sisters, when we believe that we can be friends with the world and have everything the world offers, but yet be of God, we believe a falsehood. Now, there will be preachers. You can turn on your TV, turn on your radio, look in magazines, you can turn on your cell phone. You will see preachers that tells you, God wants to give you everything in the world that you can have, material and everything else. Brothers and sisters, God does want to bless you. I will not argue that in heart. He does. But you know, He has a different will for everybody. And there are some people that will be material blessed, and He expects them to use that for the benefit and service of His kingdom. And God be praised if you are. And then there's people that live in a pup tent because they have nothing else, but they believe in God. And those are both equally blessed, because this world is not our home, and they are not conformed to the image of this world. They are transformed by the renewing of their mind so that they might know what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is for their personal circumstance. And oh, the blessings that we have. I had a guy tell me one time, you know, I don't want to believe in your Jesus because it's always pie in the sky. It's always way off in the future. I want mine right now. Who is on the throne of that man's heart? Himself. Devil don't even have to be anywhere near the facility, because he's his own God. No. That's conformed to the image of this world. We are to be transformed. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It is not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So that then they are in the flesh, cannot please God. Now, let me say something. Someone once tried to argue with me. He says, see, someone who's not saved, they're not subject to the law of God, so God's not going to send them to hell. No, 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 brothers. They're not subject to the law of God in that they are being disobedient. The law of God applies to everybody. When he said, do not steal, that applied to everybody. When he said, thou shalt have no other gods before me, that applied to everybody. When he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and you shalt love your neighbor as yourself, and all the law and the prophets are written upon that, Jesus Christ himself said that, that applies to everybody. But if you reject it, the law still applies. And what does the law say? That if you are dead in your trespasses and sin, you will be separated from life, from love, from mercy, from forgiveness, forever and ever and ever, because you will be in a state of eternal death. You will exist. Ask the rich man who died the same time the beggar Lazarus died. You will exist. You will know. You will feel. You will hear. And you will regret. But you don't have to. Because the same loving Jesus that went to the cross went for you as he did for everybody else. And in him, we find love. The world hates those who love Jesus more than life itself. The world hates those who hold Jesus' standard up and proclaim its goodness. The world will try to destroy all those who stand for and in Jesus. But you know what, brothers and sisters? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. And even if they kill me, as Romans said in the back part of chapter 8, we are led like lambs to the slaughter all day long in the eyes of the world. But they ain't going to harm one hair on our heads. Because this life is not ours. This life belongs to Jesus Christ. Because we are transformed. We are born again. We are renewed. Not only in our mind, but when we physically leave, we are given a new body, a glorified body that is made perfect in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's been there and done that. He's went through death for us. He's there with us when we die, when we belong to him. Brothers and sisters, that's a miracle in itself. You know, while circling around in this world, what I mean that, we're Christians, we're in the world, but we're not of it. So it's like we're circling an airport, waiting to land at heaven's gate. We must be holy. We must be separated unto God as Jesus is holy. Remember he said, be ye holy as I am holy. We must present ourselves as that living sacrifice we talked about earlier. We must be transformed to the likeness of Christ and not conform to the hell-bound millions that walk around us. We must learn of the Spirit what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And then we must act on it. If we know it and don't act on it, that's like somebody that walks up to a bag and he knows there's $5 million in the bag and he's sitting there looking at it. Well, I know it is, but I'm not going to tuck it. It's yours. Have it. Nope, don't want it. Again, you remember that stupid word I used earlier? To me, that's what people who know what the good news of the gospel is, but they would rather enjoy this temporary earthly existence as their utmost. That flies back in that word. Because folks, we ain't promised tomorrow. We ain't promised tomorrow. You know, when I was laying on that road yesterday, you know, I was doing the oohs and ahs and ahs and all that stuff. But in my mind, you know how sometimes your body and your mind think two different things at the same time? Well, in my mind, I was thinking, you know, this just shows I'm one day closer to the end. But at the same time, I know that even in that, in my ankle and in my life, Jesus is right next to me. In fact, he dwells within me by the power of the Holy Spirit. And he will get me through this, he will get you through this, and he will get you to where he's all you see. And brothers, I look forward to that day. We must learn of the Spirit to do what God's will is. And what is that will? John 6:29. Jesus answered and said unto him, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him who he has sent. It's that simple. We do not be conformed to this world. We are transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we know what God's will is. And what is God's will is to believe on Him who has sent. Folks, a four-year-old can understand that. And I know 84-year-olds that hate it. But I thank God every day that when I meet people, I can share the love of God with them. Even if it's just a hug or a handshake or how you doing or something. I won't make them a potato salad. I'm going to leave that up to you ladies. But I am going to share with them the love that God has shared with me. And that is how I prove I am not conformed to this world, but I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind. To do the will of God is to carry out His work. Thus, to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the only begotten Son of God, as Savior and Lord, is to do the work and will of God. This puts anyone who does this at odds as an enemy of the world. But the world is passing away, and the lust thereof. Guys, it's not going to be here much longer. Whether we go first because of we're advanced age, or God calls us through an accident or something, or we are able to discern the signs of the times and everything that is going on around us, our redemption is drawing nigh. And we are an hour closer to that than we were when we first came in this morning. Glory to God for that. So brothers and sisters, we are to ask this question, or these series of questions. If we're told not to be conformed to this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds so that we may prove what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is, whom do we serve? You've got to answer that question. I can't answer it for you. Your mom and daddy can't answer it for you. Your grandpa and grandma can't answer it for you. You are responsible before God to answer that question. Whom do you serve? With whom are you friends? Now that can go in the big meta-narrative, whether you're talking about the world or God, or you can go in down to the minute level. The micro is what we used to call it, who you're friends with personally. With whom do we conform? Who do we imitate? Who do we copy? You know, it's kind of funny. You watch a football game, and I like football, so I'm not knocking. In fact, when we had our Sunday nights back when the Chiefs were in the playoffs, I kept looking at my phone, and y'all kept looking at your phone, and we, you know, I understand that. But you know, if a guy is sitting two rows in front of me and he's got a piece of cheese on his head and a red cape and got face paint and he's acting all like a hooligan, I'm not going to do that. I'll cheer when they have a touchdown. He can do what he wants. I'm not fussing. I'm going to imitate what is good. And being drunk and dressing up like a cheese head is not good in my opinion. Okay? So who do we conform to? The earth need not transform us, because we are already in our sins what it is. You see, the world doesn't have to transform us because we're already of the world if we're in our sin. And what I mean by that is we are all sinners who fall short of the glory of God. It is God, through the power of the Holy Spirit and the blood of Jesus Christ, that transform us by our rebirth, our regeneration, our being born again, our renewing. This is what allows us to truly know His will. Then we are brothers and sisters. We are free. If the truth makes us free, and the truth is the Word of God, we are free not to sin, but to be truly free from the slavery that sin causes and to be a servant of the Most High God. Brothers and sisters, leave this God-hating world behind. Don't be conformed to it. What is there in this world that is good enough to pull you away from the Lord? I feel like a professor up here. I've got my hand, you know, I'm stroking my beard. What is in this world that is so attractive that you will go away from God for it? And will it last? Of course it won't last. Anything made by man, whether it be material positions or a philosophy or a religion, if it's made by man, it will perish. It will perish. Is an eternity separated from God worth the few fleeting moments of sin here on earth? Remember I said earlier that there is pleasure in sin for a season? That season is very short. I don't care if you live to be 110 years old, that season is very short. So I want to repeat today's text, and I really want you to dwell on it. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what that is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. How can we call people to believe when we ourselves would rather be friends to the world? It's amazing to me. We try to be relevant. Now, I understand there's some good aspects to that. You know, there's technology and things that we can use to get to people. I understand all that. That's not what I'm referring to. But when I want to live like the world and then I try to preach on Sunday morning, what does that make me other than a hypocrite? It makes me stupid. Yep, a stupid hypocrite. Thank you, brother. Be it here said that Brother Mel called his pastor a stupid hypocrite. No, I'm kidding. But brothers and sisters, that is the truth. That is the truth. Fellow believers, let us be transformed by the Spirit through the Word and through the prayers of the saints for each other. Let us separate ourselves unto God for our reasonable service, and let us really do what we claim to believe. Let us be transformed by the renewing of our mind so that we can prove what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is. And what is to do the work of God? To believe on Him whom He has sent. Father, thank You that You have showed us once again. It's always been here, Lord, since Paul wrote this down. But You've showed us once again that we are to be Your children and not of this world. You have called us out of the world, Father, so that we can serve You in great and mighty ways. Lord, I ask that we all remember this strongly in the days to come. And in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.